Welcome to a brand new series of the Women's Golf Show. I'm Jenny Falconer, and if you're new, welcome along. This is the podcast dedicated to women in golf, from the very best players in the world to the amateur handicapper like me, maybe you, just playing and just blooming loving the sport. We'll be with you every other Wednesday right throughout the summer, so before anything else, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss one episode. Now, this week, we will be talking all about the Women's Amateur Championship and exploring how to get into the sport if you haven't ever played before or if you're wanting to get in and you're just starting out. We love hearing your comments and thoughts too, so do get in touch with the show by using the hashtag TWGS. So if you're out for a round, share your pictures with us and drop us any questions as well. We would love to answer them on the show. Now, the Women's Golf Show would not be what it is without our incredible team and gang who help host the show with me every single week. One of them is Order of Merit winner on the European Tour, Beth Allen, and she's here. Hello.
Hello. Great to see you again.
I know it's been so long. Where are you? How are you?
Good. I'm currently in North Berwick. I had the pleasure of commentating on the Women's Amateur over the weekend, which was very exciting. We'll touch on that later. But yes, it's nice to be in the same time zone as you for a change.
I know. It's nice for you to be in the same time zone. And it's nice for me not to be going, it's raining here again and you're in the sunshine. Because actually, it's decent weather.
I know. It's beautiful. And everybody was so lucky to enjoy that at Princess as well during the Amateur. The conditions of the golf course were fantastic, much like all of them around the UK now, I'm sure.
Yeah. What are the golf courses like in North Berwick when the sun shines? And presumably it's not quite as windy as it can be.
Firm and fast and lots of fun, but very different. And it's a really unique time of year to play links golf. And I think it's the best time. You know, of course, it's nice to play in the sunshine, but the conditions as well are the most fun.
You've obviously been watching a lot of golf. Have you been playing much?
I've been playing a little bit, not competitively as much anymore. My role has changed and I'm now a university coach at a university in San Francisco called the Academy of Art University. And I have six girls on my squad and it's been a brilliant experience so far. And I'm looking forward to going back again in the fall.
Amazing. So is this like the summer break at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And it gives these players an opportunity to play in some amateur events and compete for themselves instead of just the university. So in turn, that means I need to do some recruiting and watching out for young talent and seeing if I can find people to improve our team.
Oh, so that's what you have to do. You have to go and recruit and bring them in.
Mm-hmm. I recruit them. And then I once they get to the university, I organize all of our events and our practice schedules and mentor them, help them with their golf games and just about everything.
Wow. So you're kind of like a golf scout then. You're basically out looking. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If you're playing golf and you see Beth watching you.
Yep. You might have an opportunity to come to San Francisco.
There we go. And we have another member of the show as well, obviously, the Women's Golf Show. We have broadcaster, commentator and former pro Ali Whittaker. Have you seen Ali in the last few months?
I've only heard Ali in the last few months, obviously watching golf. But sadly, I haven't seen her. But of course, she's very busy traveling the world. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing her this summer at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I've been following her, obviously, on social media. Yeah, and she's had a few holidays, I've noticed as well, which is about right, since most of the year she's traveling for work, isn't she? And
yeah.
She couldn't be with us today, but through the magic of technology, we have a very 2023 voice note.
G'day from Down Under, Ali Whittaker here. I'm missing you both to the legends, Jenny and Beth, who are kicking off season two. How great it is to have another season of the Women's Golf Show coming your way. I'm getting ready for the European summer. Going to journey over to warmer weather, which I'm looking forward to, as well as a couple of majors. Evian, the AIG Women's Open I'll be at, as well as the Solheim Cup in Spain. So we will keep the finger on the pulse in tournament land of golf, as well as all of the other stories from around the globe. Can't wait to speak to you both. I've missed you both, and I'm looking forward to an absolutely ripping 2023.
Oh, it's so nice to hear her voice. It's lovely. Really nice. Well, hopefully we will all get together. Maybe we can actually record one of the podcasts and be together in person. I mean,
I know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe we could even play golf someday.
That would be good.
Have you been playing much?
have, obviously. And because of my inconsistency, I've kind of gone up and I'm going down. My handicap, I must be the only person whose handicap is going up instead of going down. But you know what? That's one of those things. It's I played on Friday and it was gorgeous weather. And all year I've been going, do you know what? I just need to play in gorgeous, sunny, wind-free conditions and I will smash it. No, actually, I played my worst ever golf in the conditions I thought I would play best. So you never know. But I am still loving it and still trying.
Are you working on anything in particular?
Just all of it. All of it.
Okay.
That's it. I got a new driver and it changed my game. I'm driving further. So I've been really enjoying that. So I've just got to work on my short game a little bit more now. Yeah.
Don't we all? Short game is how you score, but I must talk to you later because I need a driver that goes further too.
Oh, I like it. This one's really good. I mean, and I keep thinking that maybe it's because I've been doing weights in the gym, but actually I just think it's the technology as opposed to the person using it. But anyway, it's good. It's all good.
We'll be talking all about the Women's Amateur Championship shortly after last week's competition at Prince's. And we've got the perfect woman joining us to discuss it. Jess Baker won last year's competition in Hunt Stanton, and she's with us now.
Hello, how are you all doing?
Good, hello there. I feel like it's very exciting to have, like, you know, a really good current golfer on the podcast as well. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Very excited to be here. And yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting all about it.
Yeah, although Beth, we have a rival podcaster with us. Do you realize this as well?
I know, I saw that. That's great though. And I love the name, obviously, because of last year and the look.
Oh, thank you. I know, it's just getting started. So I'm really excited to get going with it. And yeah, always got to bring in the sunny somewhere.
The podcast is called Behind the Sunnies, and it gives kind of indication of insight and life of an elite golfer. And the reason behind the sunnies is because last year, well, you were the sunglass wearer.
I was. I got a lot of attention for that, so I thought it would only be right and proper to name it Behind the Sunnies.
Yeah, it's a great name. And also, when I was commentating last year, I think you were feeling the heat because you were the only one in skirt and a sleeveless shirt.
Yes.
But how did you find your experience at Hunt Stanton last year?
Yes, it was fantastic, and to come out as a champion in the end was absolutely phenomenal. But it was an interesting week because that's the first time I've sort of really contended for a championship as big as that. So obviously a lot of new things to manage and sort of new emotions to deal with. But I guess to sort of come out on the other side and to have had so much experience this year on the back of that has been fantastic.
Can I ask you, when you get to a competition like that and you get closer and closer to winning, do you feel the nerves or are you still quite composed through it all?
Yeah, I think it definitely got more intense as the week went on. But I think that kind of went to the back of my head. I was so confident in the game that I was playing that it sort of didn't really matter. And I remember the quarterfinal. So I won in the morning and then I was playing Hannah Darling in the afternoon. And so I kind of knew that that was quite a big match, obviously, like England against Scotland. You know, she was the highest ranked player in the field. So I think it didn't faze me as much as I thought it would have done, which I think was kind of a testament to how I felt about my game. Obviously the pressure was there when it got to the final, but I felt like I managed it all right. We came out on the other side.
I think what I remember most about that match was your putting. It was phenomenal. Is that normally a strength of yours, or did you just have like a fire day?
I think it was a bit of both. Yeah, it's definitely been a strength of mine. I think in the way that I practice it, I'm really confident in the way that I go about practicing that, and my coach Andy's one of the putting coaches on tour, so he's got a lot of experience with that, and I really trust what we do. So I think it was just a day of everything kind of dropping, but I guess the processes that go on behind that had been in place for so long that it was sort of easy to just like kind of get going with it. So you obviously have to have those days where they all drop, but I guess that was the day.
From someone who is absolutely terrible at putting, what should you be doing? What's the kind of practice that you should be doing if you say that you focused a lot on that?
Yeah, I think it's got two parts of it. There's definitely the sort of movement focus part of it, like the technique. So putting was actually one of the things that I really struggled with kind of growing up, and we had a bit of a pact together. We wrote out this thing and I signed it and I said, in 2 years' time, putting's going to be the strongest part of my game. And that kind of came true. So that was really cool to see that happen. But there's definitely that foundation of sort of getting your right positions and having, you know, all of the face change and all of that be all right. And then there's kind of the green reading pace part of it, which I really love doing. And I've got this mirror that's got gates on it, so I can sort of line up and sort of green read and sort of test my reads from that. And, you know, the start line that's involved in that as well. And then matching that with the pace of the greens and sort of seeing it, the visualization of the putt is something that comes quite naturally to me. So yeah, I guess it was kind of that all being done years and years before, and then being able to have that skill through the week when it got under pressure really came true.
I might just add too, Jenny, that it's very mental, and one thing that you shouldn't do is tell yourself that you're a bad putter.
I know. Everyone, I've got to say I've improved a bit in the last year, which is I'm very happy with, and I am constantly going, no, I've got this, but you know, there are still occasions when I do many, many putts on the green and it's so annoying. It really is. I wondered if it affected everyone as well. That was why. It's good that you've got your dad with you as well. Does that help?
It did, yes. It definitely is a bit of a comfort blanket for me. And we've had experience in the past, you know, with him caddying for me. So it was really nice to have him there. And I think just to experience that whole week together, you know, and you know, the year after we've caddied in majors with each other. So it's been really fun. And to sort of have that experience with him is memories that we'll always remember. So it's good fun. And as I say, it's that comfort, and we kind of know what each other's ticks are, and he knows what the right things to say to me at the right time are, and we've sort of managed that quite well, I think. It's been a years of experience, I suppose.
Is he the one that got you into golf in the first place?
Partly, yes. So it was him and my granny on my mum's side. So I think she actually got my dad into golf, and then it's sort of a family thing ever since then. We've been playing a long time together, and the four of us now play. My brother and my mum started as well. So it's really nice that we all kind of get to go out and play at the same time. And as I say, definitely a family thing for sure.
Oh, it's really nice. Yeah. Isn't it? I love that when everyone plays. It also just means that if one of you's talking about golf, then you're not the golf bore of the group.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
Totally. Everybody gets annoyed when people only talk about golf if they're not golfers, right? Yeah. But you mentioned the majors and your dad coming along with you. How have you found the last year and all those experiences?
Yeah, unbelievable. And just to think this year's even real is mind-blowing. But yeah, you know, the experiences I've had, and I think just to sort of have been there and been on the bad, well, not the bad side of golf, but been struggling, to then literally in the space of a week be playing in the majors was huge. That experience I had, just to be around the best players in the world and see how they go about their business and see how the tournaments are run and sort of what goes on behind the scenes was really interesting. And I think more than anything, it gave me the motivation to want to do this in a few more years' time. And that was huge as well, just to sort of, because I think for me, for golf, it's always been like a process and a journey thing. And I've never been too much into outcomes. And growing up, I never really dreamed of playing on the LPGA. And I think it wasn't really till this year that I've really been like motivated to do it. And now I've seen it and I know that my game's up there with the best in the world. And I'm really motivated to sort of see if I can go and do that in a few years' time. So it's been really exciting and just great to be there as an amateur as well. Played with a few pros that have mentioned and said like it's really good to have this experience now when I'm not kind of thinking about making the cut or thinking about money, and you know, hopefully when I do get there for real, I'll have that experience under my belt and I'll be able to just kind of go and do my thing.
That's great. Which one's your favorite one, just out of curiosity?
I've loved them all. I think I really enjoyed the Chevron. I wish I could have experienced that a little more, because I came straight from a college tournament, so it's a little bit of a chaotic week. But yeah, I mean, I've got US Open this summer, so I'm hoping that's as good as it sounds it's going to be.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be great. I was at Pebble last week. You're going to love it.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for that. But yeah, can I say all of them? I think that would be my answer.
Not only do you get to play in these amazing competitions, but you get to play with some of the top stars in the world and you get to play on the best courses. I mean, that's amazing.
It is. And, you know, looking at the year I've had, you know, I played Augusta in April, obviously got Pebble coming up this year, where I've been Muirfield for the AIG Women's Open. We had Evian. And we played at the Celebration of Champions was at St Andrews, so had those four holes on the old course as well. So I've literally ticked off so many courses this year, which has been incredible.
How does it work then when you're competing? You obviously got to practice, you got to travel, and then you also have your psychology degree there alongside it. How on earth do you juggle it all?
Yes, time management for sure. I think it's a little different actually when I get over to the States because it's so routine based. We do everything as a team and we sort of get into that mindset of you've got to be there at this time and showing up on time is late and it's you know, very routine based. So it's like, I find it actually easier doing it that way because I'm literally like, boom, 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 let's go, next one, keep it moving. I suppose when I come back here, it's kind of like managing my social life as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't seen my friends in 6 months. So it's nice to sort of be able to do normal things, I guess. But yeah, I just got to kind of keep on top. And I guess that motivation I was talking about earlier, just kind of keeping that in the back of my head and keep that fire in my belly going. And that's kind of what gets me through.
And you mentioned outcomes and things like that. Do you think that your psychology degree actually helps you with your golf?
I think so. Yeah, there's definitely parts of it that are related. And obviously really interested in sports psychology. So I've had a few classes on that. And that's been really interesting to sort of adapt my game to sort of what I've learned, and also you know, to sort of see the comparisons in different sports. And I'm really into reading as well, so I'm on Atomic Habits at the minute, which is good, and just sort of like picking little things here and there. And I talk about my podcast as well, like 1% margins and those little areas that nobody really thinks of outside the box. And I think for me, that's a great way for me to sort of get ahead of the field and sort of find different ways that I can improve and see those marginal gains.
Can I ask you where you are at the moment, actually? This is, are you in this country? Are you abroad? Where are you?
Yes, I'm back home in Newcastle.
Oh, you are. Okay. Because yes. Because it is busy, and we've spoken a little bit about last year's event. Obviously, this year's Women Amateur Championship took place at Prince's last week. Beth, you were watching all the action from the commentary booth, weren't you?
Could
you bring us up to speed on it?
Of course I can. As many of you may already know, Germany's Chiara Horder emerged victorious from a strong field and defeated Annabelle Pancake in the final. The final was played over 36 holes, which is a marathon, but always the case in the final of this prestigious event. Luckily for Horder, she had a quick start and was 3 up through 4. After the morning round, the match remained the same. In the end, Horder's stellar play was too much for Pancake to contend with, and she ended up winning the match 7-6. This was in no small part thanks to 4 birdies on par 3s. To put into perspective how good that really is, world number one Jin Young Ko averages barely under par, like 2.98 on par 3s, which is really impressive, and I'm sure that you can touch on that, Jess. Like, those par 3s weren't easy by any means, so having that many birdies is pretty sensational.
Absolutely, yeah. Those first few holes, especially when that wind was up, was really tough because you've got a wedge in your hand. They're not the longest of holes in the first few, but it's kind of difficult to manage spin and landing zones and that kind of things with the bunkers and the slopes, and they were definitely tricky holes. And then 17 was playing about 190 and then into the wind as well on top of that, so that's a fantastic birdie if she made birdie there. And yeah, I think par threes are kind of the things that catch you out sometimes in tournaments. So that's really impressive play from Chiara.
It's not an easy one. Oh. It slides by. And is Horder just waiting for the concession? It hadn't been, but there it is. What a wonderful display of golf from Germany's Chiara Horder. And she collects the 120th Women's Amateur Championship, the Championship Cup, the gold medal, and the Pam Barton Memorial Salver.
Wow, congrats. I feel like clapping after that. I feel like I have to join in there. Is that she's the third German player to win the Women's Amateur Trophy in 6 years? Is that right?
It is. And the other two were Aileen Krauter in 2020 and Leonie Harm in 2018. Both of them have gone on to have a lot of success on the LPGA and LET, which is a testament to the championship, I think. Horder went into the week 273rd in the Women's World Amateur Rankings and overcame many of the world's top players, including the current number one Ingrid Lindblad in the semifinals, which was a great match. And really, Horder was in control almost the whole time, which impressed me the most. And that was when I thought, she has a real chance to win this whole thing. But I suspect she won't be ranked 273rd in the world anymore. The world rankings haven't come out yet, but I think she'll be shooting much, much higher. As happened with Jess last year, Horder now has secured places in the Amundi Evian Championship, the AIG Women's Open, and next year's Chevron Championship and the US Open, and also ANWA, which is the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and I'm sure that you had a wonderful experience there too, Jess.
I did. Yeah, Augusta really blew my mind. And just to sort of be there and be amongst the best players, the amateur players in the world, was so special. And obviously such a prestigious place as well. And I think growing up, I always watched the Masters on the TV. And it was just something I never felt that I could see in real life. And I think it's so great that we had this opportunity as female amateurs to experience that and to sort of be on the biggest stage with the men's tour as well. And hopefully we can get an event there for the ladies, because I think that would be fantastic. But yeah, it was a fabulous week and honestly the best run event I've been to. And they just put on an absolute show for us. And I was so grateful to have experienced that.
When you go to events like this and you kind of bump into all the other, well, I suppose your peers, your contemporaries, do you all know each other? Or is it a case of quite often you're just meeting for the first time at these events?
Yeah, I think a lot of us know each other. A lot of us are out in the States as well. So we tend to play quite similar schedules. So I definitely had a few familiar faces there, which was nice. And I think there was four of us from the England team as well. So we had the coaches out there, which is really good. And it's nice to have that team environment around it as well. But yeah, no, it is different playing against your peers. And it was actually something that I was a little more fearful of, actually. I think it's so interesting thinking that, you know, playing against the best in the world at the majors actually seemed less daunting than it was at Augusta, because the expectation just wasn't there and I was like fully expecting to come bottom of the pack. But I think being in an amateur event against people that I know I can beat is different, and it has that different expectation and pressure. And that was really interesting, I thought, of how to sort of manage that and deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's an exciting week for everyone involved, really, but especially for Ciara Horder. She spoke to George Harper Jr. just a few moments after she won. This is what she had to say.
I can't believe it. I'm super happy. It's incredible.
Not only that, you now are going to four major championships, including the AIG Women's Open. How about that for a prize?
That just gives me goosebumps. That's insane. I mean, these opportunities are incredible, and I'm so fortunate. I'm so happy.
You're now the third German in the last 6 years to claim this prize. How about that for a good role?
I know, that's amazing. I mean, they've been such an inspiration, and to follow up with them, it's just amazing. It's so good.
You had the lead the entire day. Can you believe that after a full day's golf? How did it feel to keep playing in this marathon match?
It's just insane. I mean, it's so many holes. We've played so many rounds the last couple of days. I mean, it's been like 11 rounds. And then playing 36 today, it was exhausting, but it's just, I stayed in it and I enjoyed it, yeah.
It must all be worth it. You must be really proud of your efforts on one of the biggest weeks and the biggest win of your young career.
It definitely is. I mean, it's so special and yeah, I'm so happy.
For everyone watching at home, it must be special as well. Any messages for them?
I mean, thank you for watching. Thank you so much for supporting and all the texts and messages. Thank you.
All right, well done. Congratulations. Enjoy the spoils and we can't wait to see you at all the majors.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I love it when you interview someone, they're just buzzing at the end. That's George Harper Jr. that did that interview on the RNA's live stream. I mean, the pressure, you've just won and you don't know what to think and you've suddenly got cameras in your face. Is it quite overwhelming, Jess?
Yes, it was. I know certainly for me, I just didn't really know how to react. Obviously just won the biggest event of my career. And I think it was kind of those emotions start flooding in like as soon as I made that putt on that hole. And what was funny is I was supposed to go down to the Buckinghamshire like the week after to try and qualify for the AIG Women's Open, and then I was suddenly exempt. So that was so funny. And I think just to sort of be there and see it with my family and all the supporters were great. And yeah, it's so funny, like having been there and to see Ciara do that, and it's just fantastic. And you can just hear how happy she is.
Yeah. What did you think of this year's event, by the way?
I thought it was fantastic. Princes were absolutely incredible hosts and the course was in absolutely fantastic condition. And the RNA as well did a brilliant job this year. And I have to say it totally stepped up a gear from last year. We had an amazing tent, you know, we had a gym in there. We had snacks for us all week and we had, you know, it was a whole nother level. And I think the RNA really deserves credit for that, to sort of bring up the level of the women's amateur game. So I thought it was fantastic.
So take us, when you're inside the ropes and you're playing there, what kind of goes through your mind? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier and how under pressure and you kind of stayed very focused. But as you get close to that victory, are you aware of the magnitude of the success of it?
Yeah, it's difficult to sort of slip your mind of that. And, you know, it's a big event. There's a lot of people there. there's a lot of social media attention about it and obviously live streamed. So as Kiara was saying, you know, there's a lot of messages come through and messages of support, which is fantastic. But yeah, that was kind of the first time I've played in front of cameras, I think, and a crowd as big as that. So so yeah, you know, the days get more intense as the week goes on, and the matches get harder and your mental exhaustion gets heavier. And it's kind of just I think a battle of stamina, I guess, towards the end, and mental stamina as well. So yeah, no, it is difficult to sort of manage your expectations, and you kind of have those thoughts of winning and what it's going to feel like to hold the trophy as you get towards the end. But I think ultimately you've got to focus on the task at hand and sort of get that done with first before you can sort of think about all those other things that come as well.
Yeah, and as you say, that's easier said than done, and we talked a lot about that during the coverage. And as you say, it is a unique experience playing in front of cameras, and I think that in these events, it's often the first time for young amateurs to experience that, which is great, you know, leading up to your professional careers. And it was really cool that we were on Sky Sports this weekend too, so yes, there was even more coverage, and I saw that Justin Rose was watching, which is really cool.
That's great. Yeah. We watched it on Sky Sports, which is really cool.
So what's your plans for the rest of the summer besides the US Open?
Yes. So I'm waiting on a few selections. I guess I can't really talk about that too much. But yes, US Open out in California. Hopefully make the cut there, which would be fantastic. But if not, I'm playing some European events. I've got European individual in Sweden. I'm back home for my 21st birthday in July. So that's something nice to look forward to. And then I'm actually out at Bel Air Country Club for the US Amateur. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then it's back to university in Orlando. So summer's going to fly by, but I'm really excited for it.
It just sounds like a very glamorous summer, to be perfectly honest, with a little 21st birthday party thrown in. What are you doing for your 21st?
We're just having a little barbecue thing at our house and have a few drinks, things like that. So something low-key, but nice to celebrate.
Okay, it sounds perfect. Sounds really good indeed. Now, one of the things, well, Beth's aware of this, but Jess, one of the things we're always keen to do here on the Women's Golf Show is chat about topics, right, that you want to talk about. And our social media DMs are always open for suggestions as well. So this week, off the back of the Women's Amateur Championship, we want to talk about getting into golf. Okay, it's as simple as that, right at the very early stage of taking up the sport. I mean, if you're listening now, you might be just taking up golf yourself right now. So if I just start the ball rolling, I mean, I took up golf, what, maybe 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, just because I realized that I was obviously missing something that a lot of people got a lot of joy out of. And I suddenly had some time in my week and I thought, let's give it a go. And I became hooked instantly. Doesn't mean I'm brilliant, but I just love it. And I'm not going to win anything like you two, by the way, but I just love playing so, so much. Jess, how did you get into it? We know you mentioned that it was your dad and your grandma or whatever that all got you into it as well. How old were you?
So I kind of have a weird one. So I was kind of 4 or 5, I think, when I first picked up a golf club. There's videos of me on the driving range kind of having a laugh, but it wasn't really till I was 10 or 11 that I took it up seriously. And yeah, I started Gossip Park Ladies Golf Club. I'm still there now, which is really nice. And I was the only girl at my golf club. So I learned to play with the boys, with the juniors, playing off the whites when I was 12. So that was a lot of fun. And I guess it's been kind of linear in the sense that I went through county golf with the juniors and then into the ladies county and then regional squad with the England set up and through nationals and now the women's national teams. So it's been really cool to sort of see that progression. And yeah, I mean, I think the thing for starting golf with me was just so much about the social side of it. I've really loved the game and I love to sort of get better at things. And once I've, as you say, once you get the hook for it, it's like it's all you want to keep doing. So I definitely had that from an early age. And I think playing golf with kind of the older ladies at my golf club taught me a lot outside of, you know, playing as well. It taught me social skills. As I said, you know, being 12 years old and holding a conversation with someone who's in their 70s, I think is a fantastic skill to have. And it teaches you so much in discipline and practice and sort of sacrifice as well. So there's so much more off the golf course that I feel like I've grown so much as a person through it as well.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine what these 70-year-olds would have been like when a 12-year-old comes and smashes them on the golf course. Just beats them all. It's interesting that you said you were one of the only girls, or you were the only girl. Admittedly, when I started, I didn't know many girls that played either. And Beth, I don't know if it was, you know, very man heavy when you started too, but it's thankfully it's changing now.
Yeah, I could see big changes. And I think part of that is help from the RNA exposing the game more, you know, getting live coverage and streams and things like that, because, you know, it's difficult to achieve things if you can't see it actually happening. And I think the game is going in a really good direction there. And obviously the road to the States helps too, the collegiate system and things like that. It's a big incentive, you know, to get a free education in America and play golf. And that's sort of how I got into it. I was really athletic as a young person. And then I had no interest in golf despite my entire family being involved. But when there's a thing called Title IX, I'm sure you'll be familiar with this, Jess, that yep. all scholarships, athletic scholarships needs to be equal between men and women in the States. And I read an article about that. And because there are so many more male-based sports like football, big teams, there was a big cry for women golfers because there are more scholarships available to make things equal. And so I read an article about it and I said, okay, I guess I'll start playing golf because I want to play golf in college. And that was when I was 15 and then sort of blossomed at university and turned pro right after I graduated and went straight on to the LPGA tour. So there's a lot of different roads and, you know, we've all started in different ages, haven't we? And I think that's probably one of the best parts about golf. You know, you don't have to start when you're 5. You can start anytime and still enjoy it.
And I also think it would be I would absolutely love to be amazing and be as good as you two, but it's, you know, I'm a bit behind. But you don't have to be winning every competition in order to enjoy golf. And I think that's another thing. It's for a lot of beginners, they can be quite intimidated because they go, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the worst. I was the worst and still am quite often, but it doesn't take away the enjoyment factor. And I think that's really important that you just go out and you don't feel kind of like insecure because your golfing ability is less to someone who's been doing it for years and years and years.
Absolutely. And like Jess said, it's great for your social life and exercise. Oh, yeah. And just being outside, especially when the weather's like this, is great for your mental health as well. So there are a lot of positives to take away from golf. And I think that the game is in a really great place and I hope it continues to grow, especially for women.
I do too. The one thing a lot of people do get anxious about, and I've got a lot of friends who I've encouraged to take up golf, but they're like, well, what do I wear? Mm. But luckily, I think, I don't know if you agree, Jess, but it seems like everyone's becoming a bit more relaxed when it comes to the outfits, and also women's golf clothes, it's like they've stepped up a gear.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're seeing more kind of trainery style shoes and hoodies are on the golf course now. And I think that's brilliant because it's so much more inclusive for everybody. And as you say, it is quite daunting when you want to start golf, but you maybe don't have the right clothes or you feel that you're not going to fit in. But I think it's great that those kind of expectations are changing and we're allowed to sort of wear what we like and feel comfortable with.
What tips would you give to someone who doesn't have the kit? They want to go and give it a go, but they don't have, you know, a set of golf clubs.
I'm pretty sure that they're quite readily available at driving ranges now, and I think that's a great place to start. I think it's a little daunting to go straight to play 18 holes, having never picked up a club before. So I would definitely say go with someone who's also interested, and I think you kind of get a little bit of competition going and a bit of a rivalry. So that certainly helped me growing up. And yeah, just as you say, keep enjoying it and keep enjoying the challenge of getting better every day, because that's still what makes us all do it now.
My daughter has lessons now every single week. She's 11, and they do half the lesson on the driving range, and then they go out and they play one hole. And her and her friends, there's two girls, her and her friend, and there's two boys, and it's basically a competition who can get closest to a par on this hole. And it's brilliant. But I love how passionate they are about playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great that they're mixing it up too, because it doesn't have to be divisive, you know. Women can enjoy playing with men too. And I think that's the beauty of the handicap system as well. You know, if you do want to compete, obviously it's always fun to have a social game, but if you want to have a friendly match with your friends, you can have a pretty fair one because everybody has a handicap who's an amateur, and then you give strokes accordingly. So it kind of evens everything out.
Do you have a role model, Beth, when you started? Is there someone that acts as a mentor for you?
I was really lucky that my dad was also a professional golfer. He wasn't a playing professional, but he's a PGA Class A and was a director of golf at Torrey Pines. So I was lucky. My mom was also a very, very good player. So I was surrounded. And I'd say that the best thing that they did was not push me. They said, if you want to play golf, then you can. But, you know, we're happy that you're enjoying other sports too. So, yeah, as soon as I started playing, things changed. You know, they got way more involved and invested, which was great because I always had a support system. But I'd say when I turned pro, there was a program on the LPGA, and there still is. It's called the Big Sister program. And my big sister was Laura Diaz, who was a Solheim Cup player and a really great person. And she really helped me through my rookie year. And it was challenging because, you know, when you turn pro, I wasn't as good as Jess as an amateur. So I didn't have the opportunity to play in majors or professional events before I turned pro. So it was all brand new. And it was so great to have somebody by my side that I could ask questions about anything to, and it was invaluable, and I'm so glad that they've continued that sort of thing. And I'm sure that on the LET there's something like that too. But the beauty of playing golf in Europe is you have your fellow country people to lean on in your national squads and your national coaches, and we don't have that luxury in the States. But I think it's great that it happens over here. And I'm sure, Jess, you've gotten a lot of help and advice from everybody. Is there somebody in particular that has helped you, like an English player or perhaps a pro?
Yeah, I think Louise Duncan for me. Obviously, she won the year before I did. And I remember kind of the day after I won, I just remember sending this massive message. I was like, Louise, what do I do? How am I supposed to sign up for these things? Like, please just tell me how it's done. So it was so great to have her advice. And as you say, you know, the English countrymen as well, you know, it's great to have Kaylee McGinty. She's been in Anwar a couple of times, so she was really helpful with that. And yeah, I think it's so good to have those people to rely on. And as you say, you know, kind of going through it yourself is difficult. So it's great to reach out. And I think don't be afraid to ask those questions. And I've done the same to Kiara. I texted her yesterday and I was like, let me know if I can help at all, because it is quite daunting having just won a big thing. And you obviously want to take a hold of all of these advantages. So so I was like, shoot me a message. And we've already been chatting about how to sign up for these events. So yeah, I'm glad I can sort of do that for her as well.
Yeah, and that's why golf is great too. There's so much camaraderie, and I think that's a little bit different than other sports, right? You know, everybody's, I wouldn't say friends, but there are a lot of friends, and you gain friends from playing golf. But I think more than other sports, people are more eager to help than maybe football or others like that, you know? So I think it's really cool.
Even doing this podcast, you know, and Beth and you and Ali, whenever we have a guest on, you're all mates. They've all got stories from different competitions and different games in different parts of the world. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've known Ali for a long time. And that's just because, you know, she played golf in college and now she's in this business. And it's wonderful to create lifelong friendships. You know, it doesn't just have to be about your job.
Well, I've got to say, even I have got a lot of friends that I've made through golf, and it's only in such a short space of time as well, and it's been brilliant from a social level. It's amazing. I love it. Just don't have enough time in my week to play as often as I would like. That's the thing.
That's what needs to change. We need to get you some more time, Jenny.
Yeah, that's it. Now, one of the things that happens on this podcast, Jess, I don't know if you're aware, but there is a big game, and it is the game that everyone wants to have a go at. And if you're up for it, we thought that you and Beth could take each other on this week in par 3, par 4, par 5. It's back. This is the first time we've played this in 2023. And well, listen, if you're a brand new listener, this is the Women's Golf Show's unique guessing game, where what we do is we pit our guest against one of the Women's Golf Show team. So today, Beth will be facing Jess. The rules are so simple, by the way. You get given a clue describing someone in golf, and you have to tell me who it is. It's that simple. Each player will get to pick the difficulty level of the clue. So, for instance, the par 3 clue is the toughest because you just get a 3-word clue, but it is worth 3 points if you get it. Par 4 clues, made up of 4 words, you get 2 points. Par 5 clues, the easiest, you get 5 words, but you only get 1 point if you get it right. You see? So simple.
Yeah.
For every question you get wrong, well, your opponent can come in and steal, and if they get it right, they get the points. Is everything clear?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course it is. Okay. So this week, what we've done is we've themed it. So all the players are going to be people who have won the Women's Amateur Championships. So easy.
Okay.
Simple. There we go. So, Jess, guests go first. So here you go. Would you like par 3, par 4, or par 5? The choice is yours.
I think I'm going to go in easy and I'm going to go for par 5.
Okay, fair enough. Right, here we go then. Vice captain for upcoming Solheim Cup.
Ooh, Anna Nordqvist.
Indeed it is. Well done. You get the first point of the game. Well done. Anna has actually competed in 7 Solheim Cups already. Everyone since her debut in 2009. Wow. And she will be one of 3 vice captains for this year's in Spain. Oh my goodness. She's
on fire.
She might
be playing too.
Wow. That is impressive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Beth, pressure is now on. Par 3, par 4 or par 5?
I have scar tissue. I just don't know what to do. I tried so many different ways last year. So I'm going to go easy. I'm going par 5.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Speaks French, English and Thai.
Okay. Trying to think of a Thai player who has won. I know it's not Aria or Mori. Oh, man. I'm going with a throwback name that you guys won't know, but is it Virata Neerapathipongporn?
No, but you get, I mean, I think you get bonus points for coming in with a curveball like that there. Unfortunately, not the answer we are looking for, which means that, Jess, you can steal, but we'll give you another clue. Would you like a par 3 or a par 4?
Let's go par 3.
Has psychology degree.
Oof, that's not very helpful.
I thought it might be.
I'm thinking the French. I'm trying to think who's won in the past. And I remember seeing Céline Boutier's name.
Oh, nailed it.
Well done. You are so good at this.
Yeah.
Have you seen the answers? This is really good.
Well
done. Céline did earn a psychology degree from Duke University. Mm-hmm. She's also got a minor in economics. And she was born in Montrouge, a few miles from Paris, to Thai parents. So she speaks French, English and Thai.
So lucky.
Beth is still to score.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Jess, we're back for you. Would you like a par 3, a par 4 or a par 5 clue?
Let's go par 4.
Okay. Named after Masters venue.
Huh? Is it like Augusta?
Maybe.
Georgia? Georgia, Georgia. Georgia Hall?
Oh!
Wow.
You are so good. Yeah, Georgia was born just a couple of days before Nick Faldo won his 3rd Masters title at Augusta in Georgia. And that inspired her dad, Wayne, who coached her, to name her as he did. Did you know? I didn't know that.
I actually didn't know that either. And I know her pretty well.
Okay, do you think have we just made that up for this quiz? Because it's a really good one.
Sounds right. It does sound right.
Okay, well then there we go. So that is another 2 points there to you. She won the 2013 Women's Amateur Championship, by the way, the same year she played her first AIG Women's Open. Okay, Beth, I know you can't win, but should we just do the last one for the fun of it?
Yeah, I remember last season when I was undefeated in the first few episodes, but it's not going so well. So I'm going for it.
What a difference a year can make. Okay, you're going straight in par 3 then for this one.
Yeah.
Famous footballing father.
No, this is... Okay.
Has that not helped you?
I don't know. Does Ronaldo have a girl golfer dad? No.
Is that the only footballer you know?
No. I will guess... No, honestly, I can't even guess. I'm sorry. I'm throwing in the towel.
I mean, you can steal again here, Jess. Would you like a par 4 or a par 5 clue?
Let's go par 5. Give myself the best chance.
Okay. 2015 LET rookie from Denmark.
Denmark. The only person coming to mind is Emily Pedersen.
Correct answer. So, okay. So Emily was LET rookie of the year in 2015 and she grew up obviously in Denmark, in Copenhagen. Her dad, Jesper, was a pro footballer and is now a manager back in Denmark. There you go.
Wow.
And she also won the Women's Amateur in 2014, turning professional early the following year. So basically what we've established from this round is that Jess, you are blooming brilliant at this game. Well done. You have absolutely smashed it.
Hey,
I know. Well done. You'll be replacing me soon.
Not at all. It was so nice to have you on the show today as well, Jess. Thank you so much for sparing some time coming and chatting to us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's been brilliant.
It's been really good. It's been nice to get the band back together as well, Beth.
Absolutely.
Although we're still missing Ali, but she was here in voice note person. So that kind of works.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Now, listen, if you want to get involved, you can get involved with the Women's Golf Show. We have a hashtag. It's very simple. It's TWGS. Please do get in touch. You can tweet using that hashtag. So if you're out, I don't know, playing around a golf and you're sharing your photos on Twitter or Instagram, just use the hashtag TWGS and we can see what you're up to. And it'd be great. It'd be great to just kind of get the community to kind of build up and start sharing. Beth, it's been lovely to chat again.
Yes, absolutely. It's great to see you again. And it's great to be back in the UK talking golf. I loved it. And big thanks to Jess again.
Yeah, Jess, here's to a brilliant, brilliant season, a brilliant summer.
I know. I really can't wait. It's all kicking off now. So I'm so excited.
Oh, I can't wait. I'll keep my eyes out for you as well. I'll be watching to see how you do. So look, very best of luck
from
all of us. And a big happy birthday for when your 21st comes around as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you as well for listening. We will be back on Wednesday, the 5th of July, to chat all about all things women's golf yet again. And we really look forward to speaking to you then. So until then, bye-bye.